What maketh the man? The face of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, his stern brow and charismatic presence, are known the world over. His words strike a chord in the heart of many Iranians, and what he did changed history, shifting the balance of power in a way no one would have thought possible. Iran's Islamic Revolution overthrew a powerful regime that boasted military might and the support of Western powers. The revolution has been described as unusual because it lacked the common causes for such an upheaval. No war had come and gone to cripple the society, no financial crisis had hit the nation, but something was not right. The people were aware that they were not in control of their own country, and that their will was not the government's top priority. Other entities were taking over, and this just could not be tolerated. It was then that, not for the first time in history, the clergy decided it was time to intervene. The Shah had made a grave mistake. He had underestimated the power of Islamic beliefs and culture in the Iranian society. Westernization was not going down well among the people, and when force came into play, they rose in indignation. At the helm stood Ayatollah Khomeini, a man with a will of iron and the power to galvanize a nation. He denounced the Shah's policies and his submission to the US and Israel. What political analysts would have scoffed at as very unlikely, this man believed possible. He was exiled, but his voice echoed across continents. He was not to be silenced, and the people hearkened his word. And thus it was that the power of his conviction, coupled with the support and courage of the people, brought about the revolution, leaving political analysts dumbfounded. The Shah's military was overwhelmed by the sheer number of protesters flooding the streets, and thus it was that the Shah was forced to leave, and the man who had led the movement with serenity and determination returned to his home country. Millions turned out for his arrival. There was no doubt Ayatollah Khomeini would be tasked by the people with a much longer term as their leader. June 3rd marks the 21st anniversary of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini's passing. On this day, millions of Iranians mourn the death of a spiritual, political, and intellectual leader. During the Shah's time, poverty was rife and the gap between classes was vast. Culture and faith governed the society, but the Shah was pushing for modernization, which would mean the eradication of many fundamental customs. On the other hand, the Shah was allowing Western powers to sink their claws into Iran. The US had set up military bases in Iran, and the Shah went so far as to grant American soldiers diplomatic immunity. Ayatollah Khomeini denounced the capitulation law and was imprisoned for doing so. Iran today traveled to the holy city of Qom, where we met with Safi Ali Khan, an Islamic scholar who has followed the history of Khomeini's revolution since it began.
The Islamic revolution itself, with its victory, dealt a blow to whatever policies or ever policies that existed at that time. The world itself was very capitalist orientated. Religion had no place in society or political society at that time. Religion was rather in the closets of individuals. People were, especially amongst Muslims, they were even scared to reveal that they were Muslims.
This marked the beginning of a mega change in the social order in Iran and the political system governing it. So what were the ideals that Ayatollah Khomeini chose as his beacon for the revolution? To find out, we met with Ayatollah Mohammad Yazdi, Iran's former judiciary chief and a close friend to Imam Khomeini.
Imam رضوان الله علیه در طول 23-24 سال مبارزشون اولین کارشون روشنگری و آگاه کردن مردم بود. و به عقیده من اساس انقلاب امام از همینجا شروع شد که قبل از هر چیز انقلاب رو در فکر مردم ایجاد کرد. در اعتقاد مردم ایجاد کرد.
In 1963, after Khomeini was released, he made a historical speech. He warned the Shah that if he did not change his policies, as a spiritual leader with ample public support, he would call on the people to come out onto the streets and openly denounce the Shah.
امام در روز عاشورا در یک سخنرانی فرمودن که من تو را نصیحت میکنم. روحانیت اسلام تو را نصیحت میکند دست بردار از این کارها. آخه تو 43 سال داری، اینقدر با ملت بازی نکن. و از نصیحت شروع کردن و به تدریج او گوش نکرد و تهدید کرد. برابر تهدیدش حضرت امام پیش رفتن.
Ayatollah Khomeini came from a traditional family background. His education was in religious studies, and though he had no political background, he took a keen interest in the socio-political issues of the day. At the time, religious figures were immersed in society, but were not too involved with politics. Ayatollah Khomeini decided this had to change, and presented the people with an alternative, political Islam.
Islam is derived from its two original sources, that is the Quran, as well as the prophetic traditions which has given personification to the Quran, which has interpreted the Quran. So naturally, politics will in Islam or Islamic politics will be politics that is based or derived from the Quran and the prophetic traditions which has personified the Quran.
Khomeini's speeches were getting more and more provocative, so the Shah decided he had to go. The Ayatollah was sent into exile in 1964. He was sent to Turkey for less than a year, and then to Najaf in Iraq, where he stayed for 13 years.
When he was sent into exile in 1963-64, he said that my supporters are in the wombs of their mothers, meaning that they are still to be born. And these were the very youth that 16 years later, 17 years later, that actually brought the revolution to its victory.
During his 14 years in exile, Ayatollah Khomeini propagated the idea of velayat-e-faqih, or the guardianship of the jurisprudence.
Velayat-e-faqih yani hakimiyat-e-faqih yani hakimiyat-e-islam, na hakimiyat-e-shakhs, na saliqa-e-shakhsi, hakimiyat-e-qanun-e-islam. Hamun faqihi ke hukumat-e-islam ro dar dast migire, agar yek ja khilaf-e-islam bekhod bekone, az hakimiyat kenar mire khod be khod. فقیه تا جای حاکم است که اسلام رو پیاده کند. پس ولایت فقیه یعنی ولایت اسلام، ولایت فقیه یعنی ولایت قرآن، ولایت فقیه یعنی پیاده کردن احکام خدا در متن جامعه، که این وظیفه فقیه است که اسلام شناس است، نه وظیفه هر کسی که به خیال خودش نیستی از اسلام بلده.
The Shah was keeping up good ties with Iran's neighbor Iraq. This led to Khomeini being expelled from the holy city of Najaf. This time he headed to France. In Paris, he was surrounded by the media, and his political voice became an everyday feature of global events. Khomeini had no access to mega media outlets, so to get the word out, smaller networks were targeted. The Imam's recorded messages and written lectures were smuggled into Iran and circulated among the people.
این رسانه ها در غیاب مطبوعات و تلویزیونی که دست رژیم شاه بود و نه رهبر انقلاب و نه مردم و مبارزان بهشون دسترسی داشتن، تونستن نقش ایفا کنن و برای پژوهشگران سیاست مداران این باعث تعجب بود که چطور این نوار کاستی که بعضا فکر میکردن فقط برای موسیقی و ترانه از اونها استفاده میشه، با هوشمندی و زیرکی امام خمینی تبدیل به یک رسانه‌ای شد که تونستن ارتباطات شفاهی خودشون از طریق این رسانه مدرن در آن زمان به گوش مردم رسونن پیام‌های خودشون رو.
Smaller media networks served their purpose and made Khomeini a well-known figure in Iran and abroad. We spoke to Mohammad Hashemi, who was one of Imam Khomeini's companions in Paris.
پاریس که من در خدمتشون بودم، در هفته آخر که تصمیم گرفتن که بیام به ایران، مجله است به نام ل اکسپرس در پاریس منتشر میشه و این هفتگیه عکس هفته رو رو جلدش میندازه و در کیوسکای یک متر دو متر سر همه چهار راه فرانسه تبلیغ میکرد. اون هفته عکس امام رو گذاشته بود، زیر عکس امام نوشته بود مردی که جهان را تکان داد. این جمله جمله یک مسلمان نبود، یک عاشق امام یا یک یار امام نبود، جمله ایست که یک رسانه‌ای در غرب با اون وضعیت حالا میاد این تعبیر از امام داره. بنابراین جایگاه امام این گونه است.
While Khomeini was in Paris, over in Iran the situation was grim. Protests were being held on a daily basis and the Shah was under increasing pressure to shake things up. As tensions rose, the Shah made an announcement that made it very clear he knew his time was running out. In a televised speech he said, "I hear the sound of revolution."
تفاوت ماهوی انقلاب ها در جهان که بعضی جاها رنگ ماتریالیستی و نمای سوسیالیستی داشته و بعضی جاها واقعیت کاپیتالیستی و شکل سوسیالیستی داشته، ولی ایران انقلابش، معمار انقلابش میخواد مردم رو به خودشون برگردونه و مردم خودشون رو باور کنن، دینشون رو باور کنن، دینشون رو حاکم کنن.
On January 16th, the Shah left Iran ostensibly to receive medical treatment. He was never to return. 2 weeks later, Ayatollah Khomeini flew back to Iran to lead the nation into a new era of Iranian history. 2,000 years of Iranian monarchy had officially been terminated. Imam Khomeini went to the city of Qom and resided in a friend's house, but in the weeks that followed, lawlessness and civil disorder continued. Imam Khomeini was encouraged to go back to Tehran.
Imam هدفشون این بود که اسلام رو هر مقدار میتونن پیاده کنن در هر مرحله‌ای. ولذا هیچگاه حراس از حوادثی که حتی با جان امام روبرو میشد حراس نداشتن. یعنی اینجور نبود که دنبال رهبری بودن به هر قیمتی که هست، بنابراین در مسیر و در راه رو عوض کنن تا بمونن که بیان به رهبری برسن. نه، چنین هدفی نداشتن.
In less than 2 months, Imam Khomeini announced a nationwide referendum and on March 30th, 1979, Iran held its first democratic election.
And it is also noted that the Imam said that if people at that time preferred another state, another form of governing other than Islam, he would have respected it. That the Imam very much believed in respecting the request of the people or the demands of the people.
این تصور که کسی خیال بکند اگر مردم در خلاف اسلام نظر میدادند امام قبول میکرد، این یک شبهه 100% غلط و در حقیقت یک حرف کاملا بی اساس است که به امام نسبت میدن. امام هیچگاه اگر کسی یک ذره از اسلام فاصله میگرفت حاضر نبود قبولش بکنه.
But things were not going as smooth as it seemed. Washington's interference in Iran's affairs and its full support for the Shah did not go unchallenged. Only days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, a number of students stormed the U.S. embassy and took some of its staff hostage. Ayatollah Khomeini denounced the act.
Imam مطلع شدن. فرمودن چرا این کار کردی؟ ما هنوز کاری که کارشکنی باشه ندیدیم. چرا؟ برگردونید اینا رو. این بار دوم بود که جاسوس خانه رو عزیزانمون در 13 آبان، اما بار اول امام فرمود این رو برکرد و به امریکا هم صحبتهاشون این بود انقلاب این مردم را به رسمیت بشناسیم. نشناختن به مناسبت قطع رابطه، به مناسبت موضع‌گیری های خشن و وحشیانه امریکا امام هم موضع‌گیری.
Later, in November 1979, a group calling themselves the Muslim Student Followers of the Imam's Line occupied the United States Embassy, taking 52 U.S. diplomats hostage. Within days, Iran's provisional prime minister Mehdi Bazargan resigned along with his cabinet. In January 1981, Ayatollah Khomeini ordered the release of the U.S. hostages after 444 days.
وقتی دیگران آمدن و جریان رو گفتن، اون جمله معروف رو امام فرمودن که اگر آمریکا در دوره حکومتش یک کار خوب کرده باشه، همین قطع رابطه است با به اصطلاح جمهوری اسلامی ایران و به هیچ وقت اجازه ندادن که هیچ کس بیاد درباره رابطه صحبت بکنه.
But the revolution that Ayatollah Khomeini orchestrated did not only impact Iran. The Imam's line of thought was also noticed by other movements in the region and in the international community. After the atmosphere calmed down, Imam Khomeini ordered the Israeli embassy be closed. Iran also severed ties with the apartheid regime of South Africa.
The Imam himself is known to have made statements against Israel as well as the relationship that existed between Iran and Israel from as early as 1962 that I can recall. There could be documents much earlier. And this continued with the Islamic Revolution. Similarly, he declared that the last Friday of Ramadan to be the International Day of Quds, or the International Day of the Oppressed. And he did two things mainly were achieved here. That firstly, Imam brought back Palestine within the Islamic fold. We should bear in mind that the Arab League was formed in 1945, 65 years ago. And in the last 65 years, the Arab League had failed to achieve anything noteworthy regarding the Palestinian cause. And the Arabs very much promoted that the Palestinian cause was an Arab nationalist cause that had nothing to do with Islam.
One of the issues that Ayatollah Khomeini was preoccupied with was the rise of certain leftist groups that claimed they brought down the monarchy with the weapons they took from the Shah's military stores. However, historians argue that armed groups such as the Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization were not in fact central to the revolutionary movement, and that the revolution was brought about by the people and the people alone. Imam's aides advised him to take steps to stifle these groups, but Khomeini's response was unexpected.
گفتم تفکر اینا رو کاملا میدانم. تا وقتی که دست به کاری نزدند کارشون نداشته باشید. این خیلی نکته مهمی است. میشناختنشون که اینا چه جور فکر میکنن، چه برنامه‌هایی دارن. گفتم تا وقتی که دست به کاری نزدند هیچ کارشون نداشته باشید. یا آقای دیگری اونجا گفت که آقا اینا خیلی خطرناکن. در آینده اسباب دردسر و زحمت میشن. مجددن امام اصرار کردن که تا کاری نکردن کارشون نباید داشته باشه.
Another major incident to challenge Khomeini during his lifetime was Saddam Hussein's invasion of Iran, which forced the nation into an eight-year war. In 1980, while Iran's revolutionary government was still in its infancy, longtime enemy Saddam Hussein seized the opportunity to invade. What followed was one of the bloodiest wars of the 20th century. An estimated 1 million people from both sides were killed, and Iran's infrastructure was left crippled. The cost of the war was immense, and the economy had been brought to its knees, and it was the people who had to bear the burden. In solidarity with the people, Khomeini maintained a standard of living equal to the lowest class of the society.
The Imam never preferred himself over ordinary people. The Imam always saw himself as one of the masses. There are many examples to this point. That when he returned to Iran after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, at that time, it would have been no harm. I don't think people would have even objected if the Imam is the leader of the Islamic Revolution. The Imam was not the president, but rather every individual, he was loved by every Iranian, by every member of the society. Naturally, those people that supported the cause. It was something beyond that the Imam came to power through an election, but rather people loved the Imam. It was a relationship that went beyond just supporting somebody.
In July 1988, Ayatollah Khomeini, quite unwillingly, accepted a truce mediated by the United Nations. In his own words, he drank the cup of poison.
فرمودن من به اصطلاح جام زهر رو به سر میکشم، یعنی اگر بنا بود با روش های دیگه عمل بشه باید ادامه پیدا کنه تا دشمن به اصطلاح تسلیم بشه و تحت حاکمیت بیاد، ولذا حتی سرزمین هایی هم که ما تصرف داشتیم از دشمن ما موافقت نکردن که اون سرزمین ها در اختیار ما باشه، همون سرزمین ها رو گفتن اینا ما رو خودشون بدید به خودشون، همون سرزمین قبلی خودمون باید باشه.
As the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini made the political and social issues of the newfound Islamic Republic his main priorities. Less important issues did not escape his attention, however. Issues like the way the Iranian media was functioning. Mr. Mohammad Hashemi was the head of IRIB, under Ayatollah Khomeini's supervision. He shared with us a memory of how the leader kept up with Iranian broadcasts.
خب ما رفتیم خدمتشون گفتیم آقا این قضیه چیه، توضیح دادن. ایشون فرمودن من تو اون تیتراژ یا اون مطالبی که جلو برنامه تو می نویسین گاهی نگاه کردم دیدن شما کارگردان یا بازیگر زن دارین ولی گریمو رو زن ننوشتین، یا بازیگر مرد دارین ولی گریمو رو مرد ننوشتین گریمو رو زن نوشتین. من تذکر دادم که شما یه وقت اگر اجنبی این کارو بکنیم با این حتی تیتراژ برنامه رو دقت
می‌کردم. Ethics was one of the Imam's key concerns. According to his associates, Khomeini valued morality and looked at all socio-political issues from a moral perspective. Evidence of this can be seen in his recommendations and political messages to officials and his letter to former Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev. Part of his letter reads,
Mr. Gorbachev, it's necessary to accept the truth. Your country's main problem is not materialism, economy, and freedom. Your problem is a lack of real devotion to God, which is what has and will lead the West to cruelty. Your main problem is your long and pointless struggle with God.
در سالهای اخیر این رشدی اقتصادی و تکنولوژی که در ایران ما شاهد این هستیم، خصوصا دسترسی ایران به تکنولوژی هسته‌ای، نیز این پیام رو برای کشورهای اطراف داده است که در شرایط یک دولت متکی به ارزش‌های دینی هم تأمین رشد اقتصادی و تکنولوژی امکان پذیر است. یعنی دین آنگونه که تصور می شد عامل عقب ماندگی نمی شود، بلکه کشور ایران در حالی که به ارزش های دینی تکیه می کند رشد اقتصادی و تکنولوژی را هم کسب کرده است.
Ayatollah Khomeini established an Islamic system by which all details of running a political system correspond with Islamic Sharia law. Western critics were of the opinion that the new system would not be successful in the long run, but 30 years on, experts believe Iran has presented the international arena with a new definition of political discourse, one that, unlike the Western definitions, does not separate politics from ethics.